Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Election College, episode number 235, Edwin Stanton, part 2.
Let's throw a political party. Face it, the political scene sucks, but did it always? It's time for Election College, and class is in session. Now, your hosts, Jason Goff and Ben Smith.
So it's 1860, and you know a lot of the criticism about James Buchanan, right? That he wasn't that strong of a leader. Basically, Edwin Stanton stands up and says, "Hey, buddy, president, you need to take a strong stand because states are wanting to secede and they can't do it." Buchanan's like, oh, okay, maybe.
We'll see.
He may or may not listen.
Yeah, and this is kind of the weird time in our history where, well, every time in our history is kind of a weird time if you think about it with regard to political affiliations. But at this time, the Whig Party is kind of going out. The Republican Party is really coming in full force. We've got the Democrats, you know, they're always changing a little bit, but kind of still have always been around, well, at least as far back as anybody wants to remember. And we see, you know, a little bit of shift. So Edwin Stanton is kind of shifting from the Democratic Party over to the Republican Party. And this isn't necessarily, a change of his beliefs. It's almost more of a combination of maybe changing a few things here and also new parties forming with new ideas. So it's really, it's one of the more interesting times. And I would almost equate it in some senses to our current day climate where, you know, parties are changing and parties are a little different even than they were like 30, 40 years ago. You see people move to the opposite poles. Well, at the time of Stanton, they were moving towards almost similar poles. So, anyway, it's just a whole mess. Anytime you get parties involved, just listen to Washington, right? I mean, he says, don't get parties involved. Don't get parties involved.
Yeah. I mean, my goodness. We should just listen to him over and over again. Anyway, so Lincoln gets elected to be the president, and he chooses Simon Cameron to be the Secretary of War. Now, if you know anything about Simon Cameron, very interesting figure in our history that probably doesn't get talked about a whole lot, but really, he's leading the War Department, and he's not really doing that strong of a job. He's operating the department on this old spoil system, and he kind of knows that he needs to go, but, you know, Stanton hasn't necessarily been the loyal Republican prior to this, and what are you going to do? So, the War Department had actually been called the Lunatic Asylum by many in Washington, and leaders in Congress did not care for Cameron very much at all. So it really was Congress versus the War Department. Well, Stanton is over there, and he's like, yeah, I'll do a really good job for you. And what ends up happening is Stanton becomes one of Lincoln's best advisors when it comes to the war. You've got characters like McClellan, who didn't take orders very well. Time and time again, you've got different people who are fighting in battle, but are not necessarily doing exactly what Washington is telling them to do. And Stanton steps in and is strategizing with Lincoln. And they pretty much form a dynamic duo.
Yeah, so Lincoln and Stanton continue working together through the Civil War, and it is because of a lot of Stanton's actions that things turned the way they did in various parts of the Civil War. So that is a conversation that we could have for years, talking about anything to do with the Civil War, but especially Lincoln and Stanton during the Civil War. So we'll just skip kind of ahead to the end of the Civil War, because what we need to know is that the North won, or I guess the country won, and everybody came back together, and it was all peachy keen and everything like that. Everybody knows there was no, you know, animosity after the fact, which I'm being heavily sarcastic in case you can't tell. So on April 13th, Lincoln invites Stanton and Grant, and of course their wives, to go with him and his wife to Ford's Theater to see a play. And, you know, they decided they didn't want to go. First of all, Stanton and Grant's wives were pretty close. They were kind of tight. They liked to hang out together. And maybe they didn't care for Mrs. Lincoln. It's possible. They didn't want to go alone. But they ended up finding other excuses and didn't go. But as we know, President Lincoln was shot that evening. And Stanton ends up going back home that night. He didn't really know what was happening, you know, outside of that, but he goes to see Secretary Seward during that time, which we're going to talk about Seward next episode. And he ends up going to bed and then being alerted, Mr. Seward is murdered. And he rushes downstairs and he hears that President Lincoln is potentially dead as well, and he tries to leave. He tries to go, and he's told, no, you can't go out. There's somebody out there. You'll die if you go outside, basically. And he ends up forget that, and he goes, gets a taxi, goes over to Seward's house.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting about Stanton's personality, because whenever something good would happen in the war and he would go out and speak to whoever would listen to him, he would be pretty emotional. And, you know, I would envision him being kind of a crier in a way. But throughout the evening and into the next couple of days, Stanton just totally turns into, like, Mr. I'm going to lock down everything. You know, fishing boats that were out on the Potomac, they were not allowed to come back to the shore. They called in the New York Police Department to search for John Wilkes Booth. He really goes after anyone and everyone who plotted to kill Lincoln. Probably one of the most notable people he went after was Mary Surratt, who, you know, it was kind of a big deal to go after a female, and that's exactly what he did. And not only are we going to capture you, we're going to put a bag over your head. And yeah, the bag will have a hole in it so you can eat and breathe. But yeah, we're going to take swift action, and we all know what happened there.
So at this point, Stanton is a pretty important guy in our government. He is kind of running the show. He's one of the few who knows what's going on after, you know, the leadership has been shaken up and changed around, and he's filling in gaps that they need filled. And Johnson comes into office, and he retains Edmund Stanton. He decides not to kick him out, and he says, yeah, I could use your experience. You know what you're talking about. And he stays around. Well, we all know from hopefully the last couple episodes about President Johnson, he gets impeached shortly later. And Johnson gets impeached a little while later. He does end up getting acquitted, but after he gets acquitted, Stanton's like, I have had enough of this. I don't need to be involved in any of these things. I'm just going to leave. So he resigns. And, you know, Johnson kind of turns on him and says, you know, anybody who wants him to get impeached, who wanted him to be thrown out, blackhearted jerks, basically. And he's like, well, whatever, I've had a good run, I'll leave, that's fine. But he also was in a really bad state of health, and, you know, he'd been having health problems his entire life, but also then during the war and things like that, he had devoted so much time and energy to the government that his health and his finances were suffering. And so really, after he resigns, he's got like a little bit of cash and a $500 loan, and decides, hey, I guess it's time to take law back up.
Yeah, so he does go back to private life there in Ohio, but the Republicans, being all Republican-y and party happy, they want him to run for office, but he just can't do it. He's ill. So Stanton does return to his law practice, and he argues cases in Pennsylvania federal court about some disputed lands that West Virginia was claiming that they had rights to. He would also argue in front of the United States Supreme Court after hearing of one of the justices was going to retire, and he's like, hey, is this person, this replacement, really going to be suitable? But all the while, Stanton, and keep in mind, he's only in his mid-50s. Stanton's like, you know what? I'm going to die soon. So I better make some preparations for this. And what would happen is he'd think he would be dying, and then he'd have a second win. And then he thought he was dying, and he'd have a third win. But then finally, on the night of December 23rd, 1869, which was just a few days after his 55th birthday, he complains of pains in his head, neck, and spine. And Surgeon General Joseph Barnes says, yep, your breathing is not very good, and this isn't good. Call the preacher, because I don't think you're going to last. And on Christmas Eve of 1869, Stanton passes away.
Yeah, so President Grant at that point wants to have a state funeral. And Mrs. Stanton is like, no, I want this to be really simple. I don't want it to be a big to-do. And Grant's like, okay, well, in some senses, I'll give you that, but we're still going to offer for, you know, we're going to make sure all the public offices are closed. Raiments of sorrow will be draped on the federal buildings, etc. And they lowered some flags to ask staff, and, you know, there's gun salutes happening all across the country. So on December 27th, artillerymen carry his body to the parlor of their home, and pretty much the whole crew, President Grant, Vice President Colfax, the entire cabinet, the entire Supreme Court, a bunch of senators, representatives, etc., they all come to Stanton's funeral. And they end up, after the eulogy is said, his casket is drawn to the Oak Hill Cemetery, and there's just a, you know, a big to-do about it. So he is laid to rest beside his son, who had died when he was an infant, and he's carried to his final resting place.
Yeah, so you don't hear a lot about Stanton, and it's interesting, Ben, because here, basically, all the territory between where I live and where you live is Stanton territory. Yeah. And there, to this day, are schools named after him. There's a neighborhood in Pittsburgh named after him. But his legacy is one that, well, basically Civil War buffs know a lot about, but a common person may not even know that, yeah, he actually helped win the war for the Union. He helped solidify the government during a time of great uncertainty after Lincoln was assassinated, and just an all-around patriotic American who hopefully we are bringing some light into his legacy, and that, you know, books will be written and podcasts will be said, and the legacy of Stanton will live on.
Yeah, so that's a lot of stuff about Edwin Stanton, and we hope you've enjoyed it. We also hope that you would enjoy it so much you would leave us a review over on iTunes. That's right. Even if you don't use iTunes to download or listen to your podcast, head over and leave us a hopefully 5-star review and a couple nice words, and we would really greatly appreciate that. As we always say, when we find out we have a new review, we do the happy dance.
And the happy dance is something we love to do. Hey, we also enjoy hearing from you on social media. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Election College. And don't forget about those Christmas sweater t-shirts. We are always talking about them on social media because, well, that's the thing you do. Love to have you purchase one and show your support for the podcast.
Thanks, everyone. We'll talk to you next time.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? Ew, seriously. They squeeze the grease out of the wool and process it with chemicals, and then you eat it. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I got rid of products I didn't want anywhere near my body. I found that many multivitamins contain high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and even lacked some of the nutrients we actually needed. So what did I do? At 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. Ritual's products are made traceable, meaning we share the science and sourcing for every single ingredient. For example, our vegan vitamin D3 comes from sustainably harvested lichen in Nottingham, England, not sheep. We trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. See for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.